Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Monday, April 27, 2015, at 3:02 p.m.
I call the Board of Commissioners meeting in order. Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, I'll find out. Yeah. Jerry, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion to excuse Commissioner Buscaglia from today's meeting.
Second.
Moving seconded. Call roll.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, April 13, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims. Approval of the accounts payable claims. Approval of the official report. Approval of Resolution 15C-015, allowing over expended budget for the probation office to increase the $2,000 for payments a claim. I review the payroll claims and the accounts payable, Scott and myself. Everything looks like it's in order, so we need a motion to accept the consent agenda items.
So moved on the consent agenda items, Tony.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Love and seconded by Commissioner Roddy. Call roll, please.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Motion carried. We move under unfinished businesses. Approved correspondence by writing to affect residents to clarify the use of the county road spur north of Dixon Path.
Okay. On this in particular unfinished business, I'd like to make a motion to take that agenda item from the table.
I second it.
So you're removing agenda item A?
A.
Yes, A.
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Motion carried. Item B on the finished business. Sheriff Clamber to present.
And then have to do A.
Tony, I think what I'd like to do is I'd like to make
Thank
a motion
you,
for Joan to write a letter to the residents, Odell Muff Bailey and Todd Masters, on our decision with that road, which is North Dixon Path, for the fact that the county has been
to the residents affected.
Yes, yes, that we've been maintaining that road for.
Sure.
Over 10 years, so.
Did you do that, Jones?
Okay.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Second.
Motion by Scott to send letters to the residents affected on this. And second, moving and seconded. So call roll, please.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Now, motion carry. Under item B, Sheriff Clamber to present a map of Dixon County Path and possible efficient solution, possible action by the board. Sheriff.
Thank you. I don't know if you've got this little map that I sat and made up.
Yeah.
This isn't referring to North Dixon Path or any other type of road. This is referring to the problem that we have with the addressing out there. I just got a request for the people right next to Bailey. That's going to be 425. That's
425.
And on this little map, I tried. Did they get that one, Joan?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That leaves 6 to 7 lots. Those are already accounted for. That's already been bought, and this guy's planning on splitting these up. We don't have addresses. I met with Zimmerman this morning with the city planning, or the city... The city does it completely different. Here's what's going to happen, and it's already happened. We're out of addresses. I don't know what I'm going to do for 911 addresses. Working with the mapping and going with a point, supposedly that would work, but I don't know. It's just going to create more and more problems out there. The only other solution is to completely get rid of Dixon Path, rename it, and readdress everybody, which, you guys, that's not going to work. I'm bringing it to you because I still haven't got an answer from the state who's responsible for this, and I hate to say it, but I think it's me. I don't know who else is because it's not the planning and zoning.
Right.
This is within city corporate limits. That's why I talked to Zimmerman. Corporate limits, what should I say? Zoning limits.
Did this all get started with Pat Files? I've asked that question several times.
You know, Scott, I don't think it got started with Pat Files. And I don't think there was much Pat could do about this other than doing what I'm doing with it now. And it's been months of trying to get answers and bureaucracy and all the other crap. And in the interim, these lots are getting sold and houses are getting built, and they do not have 911 addressing. My biggest fear is liability for dispatch.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear for that. Otherwise, I don't care. Standing out there at Todd Masters last week, there was a FedEx guy looking for one of these addresses.
That's a mess.
It can't be like 423A and 423B.
Well, I don't think that the letters will work in the software, but from what I found out this morning, the points will work. Like, say, 423.1, 423.3.
Okay. What would be wrong with that?
But, well, would you want an address like that?
No. Good point. Yeah.
And look at Sponder Claire down here. This has been like this forever. He's got, 427, and then...
How many more numbers do you need?
Well, 6 to 7 more.
I can't even read that.
That's not even the even sides across the street. If they start building in this...
That's a whole ballgame.
This is what? Election.
Does
that sound about right?
Yeah, that's about right. So I don't know if Tony, aren't you on the county planning and zoning?
I just represent the planning and zoning myself, so they're, I'm not a member of the planning and zoning. Why?
Well, have they ever addressed anything like this?
No.
Any of you guys that have been on?
Not that I recall.
Well, as I'm looking into this, there's bigger problems in the county with E911.
Did you need them to get involved on this?
Well, I don't know if they can. I never got an answer back from Pam with the state that says, yes, Sheriff, you need to get them involved. I know the city don't get planning and zoning involved with any of that. Zimmerman goes every 10 feet, gives an address. I typically I've been doing this here in Thurston County, and I'm on the 1,500 feet. When I'm out in a rural area, that's usually what I go by, 1,500 foot, give it an address, and that way I got my addresses close. And I fixed other addresses in the county when I took office here. One other, Claire, out here, I can't remember the road. I don't know if you remember talking. Right at the end, I forget who lives out there. But that was completely wrong, and we fixed that, and there wasn't no problem. They changed their address, done deal, fixed it. But when I start telling McGinty's and everybody else, they're changing
their... Yeah, they're going to like that.
So the only concern, the concern that you have is if we use it 425, the liability part of when they call 911, right?
Okay, as far as North Dixon Path Road, that particular problem is fixed now. So North Dixon Path Road is a different 425 than what Dixon Path is. My issue now is I have no more 911 addresses, and they're requesting them.
Yeah.
People are going to be building out there very shortly. The city basically aren't getting involved with it because it's in the county.
Your problem.
Well, our problem. You're on the LEC board.
You guys take care of it. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Let me know how it turns out for you.
So,
is there a 429 and a 431?
Yeah.
Yes. I can't read my own little markings here, Joan, so.
They weren't.
I used red because I thought they'd stand out.
Yeah.
There might not be a 439, Joan.
There's a 439.
Yes, there is. Doyle.
429 and 431. If you go 423 Tammy, 425 New Resident, 427 Sponder, I don't.
Yeah, there just isn't enough.
429, 431. I don't.
The decimal point thing might fix it in a 911 addressing. It's not going to make the people buying houses they're real happy. It might fix it for the temporary time. But there's another issue that Zimmerman brought up. It's going to come up when McGinty and all them kids are fighting over 10 acres out here and all that land down by the river. It's going to be the same thing. We're not going to have addresses to address all the
developed in someday.
Would that be another street address?
Well, it depends, Fred, on what they do down there. I don't know. I'm just looking down the road a little bit, and this is all a big cluster out here. If Muff decides to sell and starts developing that along the riverfront?
Well, I think that would be, again, like Fred said, I think it would be a different road name, I would think.
Well, I would think, but like Zimmerman said, if it comes off of 3rd Avenue here, into most field, Scott, they're going to have to, in South Sioux annexes, they have to go with what they've got now. They can't change that by law. They have to keep going in sequence. So I don't know, you guys, what you suggest they do. If you want me just to handle it and do whatever I can, and
but the board wants to do it. What do you guys think?
I think you'll have to do. I mean, some of those people will probably have the new addresses going through over again. I know you don't want to do that, but I think you're going to have to have.
Well, it's not really a sweat off me. It's going to be you guys are going to hear it.
Well, that's all right.
What are
we going to do about it?
Well, it just seems like this 425. You know, it just kind of. I just don't understand how Tammy Bailey ended up with this address, and then all of a sudden, you know, where they should have maybe been thinking about, you know, what was down the road, because we knew that these lots were going to be developed. Right. I just don't understand where that came from. It just drives me crazy that I just don't. Yeah.
Because the trade report was 421. When that got taken down, that 421 was this North Dixon Path Road. That's where the entrance to the trailer court was. That's why automatically the first corner lot, which is Masters now, is 421. And then the next sequence is Bailey's, 425, or 23. And then the next one's 425, and then Sponder's 427, which is further west than what...
Yeah,
yeah, you're going to start all over.
Yeah.
I don't think you have any choice.
I don't either. So let's rename Dixon Path.
I don't care.
Whatever it takes
to be some angry people.
What's the point?
You can't even make some path. You just have to get your numbering system. Whatever.
Just go by every 1,500 foot, break it up,
yeah,
and renumber it.
Yeah, renumber that old one.
Don't even do it.
Give me choice.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it something you want me to take the planning and zoning, Tony?
This hasn't happened before.
Is the planning and zoning...
I don't think y'all can do with it.
I can do with it, really.
I don't think they have anything.
I don't think it...
Really? I don't know.
But if you want to, I mean, I don't know what they're going to meet. They skip... Like last year, we only had 6 meetings throughout the year, you know, which is the minimum that we can have.
So
they
can do
but it. I doubt it if they're going to do us any good, you know, because...
You know, there is. I could probably send out some letters to some of these people and say if this is what's going to happen, if you don't like it, get on the agenda for the governing board.
Yeah. Man, oh man.
Well, and it's too bad because we've had these addresses for decades. Right,
know,
right. And then all of a sudden, hear this.
But, you know,
I don't know. I don't.
I wouldn't want to. Fire. I would be very angry if this happened to me.
Well, sure.
It being
the worst
thing
that will happen is you get it all cobbled up, and then you have a fire, and they can't find the right place.
That's what the part that we're worried about.
That you can't have.
So,
that.
But what you're suggesting? What are you?
I'm suggesting that we put our heads together and figure out how we can fix it. I'm just one guy, and we're all in a boat together.
Yeah.
So that's my suggestion.
Yeah.
I don't want to make a move and then cause a bunch of ruckus and not everybody.
Why don't you notify those people and tell them what we're up against? They're sure welcome to come to a meeting.
Well, I have yet to talk to some other areas, like I was talking to Zimmerman about. I'm sure other cities have dealt with the same thing. So there's got to be, why reinvent the wheel, see how they did it.
Yeah, there has to be a solution, I would think, but I can't think off the top of my head right now what it could be.
So in the interim, I'm going to give this guy that's going to build that 425, because he's requesting it now. He wants to build a house. He's already got his permits to build it.
Okay.
And then we won't have to worry about it again until we break up these other lots that he's already bought.
So it might be a year, it might be 6 months.
We need
to have a
hopefully
plan.
3 years.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Why three? Thanks. I don't get it.
I
Okay. Hey, we'll do some thinking, though.
Yeah. Let's do that.
If you guys can think of something, I'd sure appreciate it. I'm just going to kind of stand by and...
In the meantime, you know, if I get with Planning and Zoning, one of the members, I will ask them to see what they have to say. See if they got any thoughts or anything like that, and I'll let you know.
But I don't think statutorily, really, PZ's got anything to do with it.
That's what I think.
That's what I'd like to be on our agenda again next time.
Yeah.
But just for future reference, 1,500 feet, give it an address in case I croak tomorrow or something, because it would save a whole lot of problems if that was done in the first place.
That's true. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. New business under item A. Dave from South Sioux City Public Library discussed continued funding for the South Sioux City Library for veterans to live outside the city limits in South Sioux City and all the residents of Dakota County. Dave?
Thank you for letting me come today. Also like to thank the county for funding. I've been here 6 years, and it's been funded that time, and I imagine it was probably 4 years before, because I think it was a 10-year tax thing. What I'm just going to do is tell you some basic little things. We went through our numbers today, and it's extremely difficult to figure out exactly how many county residents outside of the city limits of South Sioux City have library cards. We were able to get at least 912 residents that live in a zip code different from the South Sioux City zip code. And then we also figure we've got Attakat, Tompkins Ridge. So we're guessing anywhere from possibly another 300, possibly out in those areas there. So that's the thing that we're looking at, is potentially there's about 1,200 people that live outside of the city limits that have library cards out of 8,000 library cards that we have. So it's a fairly large number of cards. What we're looking at is right now the $40,000 that the county provides is one-tenth of our budget. And so that's our biggest concern, is if the county doesn't continue help funding, if the city can come up with it with extra funds. If they can't, then some of the things that we've already looked at as the potential is possibly having to shut the doors on Saturdays, or closing, you know, two nights a week, three nights a week at 5 o'clock, things like that. Our evening programs for the kids' programs will probably have to end, because that's an extra person that we've hired in the last about 4 years to do all our kids' evening programs. We have... give you a little background on the library now. We do about 1,400 programs a year. We are third in the state next to Omaha and Lincoln on number of programs that we do, all the way from technology computer programs for adults and kids to we have about 700 kids programs in a year that we're doing now. And then we have about 150 adult programs that are all the way from basic... some of the fun things are we have a Tangled Yarns group, which is a group of ladies that come in and knit and teach other people how to knit. We've actually had a group of kids, now young girls, that are now learning how to knit. And they're called Needle Ninjas. And so they developed their own little program. We do a program called Library Eats, where we have patrons learn how to cook what they consider is non-traditional stuff for us. It's pretty normal stuff, but it's an introduction to how to pretty much cook food here in the United States, kind of what you could get at the grocery store. So there's a wide variety of things that we offer to our patrons. When we thought about it, if the county residents that aren't in the South Sioux City limits, if they have to pay for their library cards, then it would be, we'd have to raise our rates up to about $55, which is the average amount that the South Sioux City resident pays for a $100,000 property. And so that's what the card amount would probably end up going to. So plus, and we don't expect those 1,200 people probably all getting library cards in. So that's our big concern, is where we're going to be sitting down the road.
What are your hours now, including weekends?
We are 60 hours a month, and or in a week. 60 hours in a week. And that, through the state of Nebraska, to be a certified library, you have to meet certain criteria. And for our population size, you have to be 10,000 or larger. 60 hours is your minimum. Most other libraries that are bigger, you know, have 65, 70, 75 hours in a week. So we're kind of at the minimum where we should be. And so that's where we're kind of looking at that way. If we have to cut our hours, then we do drop out of that certification level for our size range.
What's the criteria if a high school kid comes into your library and wants to rent a book?
If they want to check out a book, all they have to do is show us, like a parent. If they're 16 and older, they can just come in with their own ID, if they have an ID, and a driver's license, something like that. And if they live in the county, all they do is fill out the paperwork, and they have it. And they have that card, and it stays good for a year. And then after a year, all we do is ask for proof of their address again to make sure that they still live where they are.
My situation, my son's a high schooler. He goes into the library 6 weeks ago, didn't have the information that he needed in the public or the school library, and he was told, they asked him where he lived, he says between Jackson and South Sioux, and he was told that he doesn't live in the city limits, he cannot get a library card.
And that's one problem we keep running into with certain individuals. They don't under. We actually had a booth at the Dakota County Fair for 2 different years just to do that, tell people, you live in the county, you can get a library card.
So why would your people tell him that he can't?
That wasn't, if that was a school library, that's
no, 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 no. That was at the public library. The information was not accessible to him through the South Sioux, so he went to the public library.
How old was he?
15.
He had to have a parent.
But they did not tell him that. The only thing they told him, and I interrogated him.
Okay.
I said, we're having a meeting on Monday. I said, what actually took place? And he said, I go in there, they told me I did not have a library card. They asked me where I lived. I said, in between Jackson and South Sioux. And they said, well, you're outside the city limits. You cannot check out a book.
And what they probably were referring to is, since he was underage, he had to have a parent come in. And so that's the stipulation there. And that's mostly just for the fact somebody has to take responsibility for if an item isn't brought back. So
even though my wife has a library card among our family, I don't, it just makes me wonder how many other people go in there outside the county. You got to see my side.
Yep.
You got to see my side. I'm just wondering how many other people go in there out of the county that they're told this.
The other thing that we run into situations is if he had proof, like a driver's license?
And he does. He has a school permit.
Okay. Because we've had situations where people come in and say, my mother says I can check out this item, and that's not their mother, and now they've got something checked out. And the mother, like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never checked that item out. And we've pulled up videos, things like that, and I don't know who that is at
all. So basically, what you're telling me as a parent, then I would need to walk in, my wife or myself, and say, okay, these are our kids.
And just sign them up, and then they can come in with their card anytime they want without a parent. It's just simply, if he didn't have a card on him and he was under 16, then he had to have a parent to come get him a card, or could have checked out an item on her card.
I guess I just didn't like the fact that they asked him where he lived and then stated that, well, you're not inside the city limits, so you live outside the county.
And once again, it's one of those things, if the person who they were talking to knew exactly what, because that's our biggest problem that we run into, is where address is, if we're trying to find if they are in a South Sioux City address. You know, Tammy, who's been there for a long time, that's one of the things she had to do all the time, was dig out a map, literally, and look where those addresses sat and say, oh, you're out of the city limits. This is before the county did the funding.
It's just a suggestion, Dave. Maybe for the future, you know, I can see a Scott point, you know, I can see a point to. But tell you personnel or you know, the people at the library, you know, make sure that you tell those minors, you know, they need to have a parent
yep.
with him because apparently Scott didn't tell him that, right, Scott? Didn't tell him that he
right.
Yeah. So if you tell them, you know, that the parents needs to be with them at the time they want to get the car, that's a problem solved, I think. Anything else, Abe?
We have other people here. Anybody else want to speak?
Yep. Yeah.
Hi, Lou Franco.
Thank you, Lou.
I'm in Dakota County. Okay, I just have a question. First of all, I have to make a comment. I think the South Sioux City Library is wonderful. It has a lot of programs. It benefits a lot of people. But what happens if other presidents or other city libraries in Dakota County comes and requests funding like the South Sioux City Library? I mean, how do you give one library funding and not the rest of the libraries in Dakota County?
I think the other libraries in Dakota County are probably pretty simplified, meaning Dakota cities. And I think, I don't know the exact programs that they all put on, such as South Sioux. I'm aware that Jackson, you know, when they put the school in,
right.
they put a library in there.
Right.
So I just don't think that the other libraries, not saying that they all couldn't be funded some form or shape or way,
right.
but I think that...
That's just the question to make it simple. You know, as
yep.
far as their programs, that's one thing, but as far as funding...
Well, they haven't come forward the last 10 years.
Public library, but they could. You know, I mean, that's just a question. I mean, that's just...
Mm-hmm. The jail.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a written agreement trade-off for the South Sioux City's sales tax.
Well, I understand that, but that's done, right?
It's yeah. done.
Yeah. Okay,
we got one more payment left.
Okay, so this I'm just asking the question.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Franco. I think that's a good question. Yes, Dave. You done?
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Yep.
Thank you
all
very
right.
much. Thank you for your report. New business under item B, Kevin Kennett. Grant writer to update the board regarding the electric car grant and grant research results, something like that. What do we do?
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I think in your package you may have been sent some stuff. There's some different things that we've been looking at here most recently, kind of a memo styled. Couple sheets of paper. First of all, Tiffany received notice that we got the Minority Health Grant, $182,000 and change, and so that will be used to address diabetes and obesity over the next couple of years, to hire some people for education, assessment, screening, and prevention. So that's through Department of Health and Human Services. Secondly, COPS grant 2015, we took a shot at this one last year, got pretty close. That time frame of applying again should be coming up in the next couple of months. So I met with Penny a couple weeks ago. We went over last year's application. We went over the Lexington, Nebraska application that was funded, and just figured out some things that we could do to increase the points. Little things like, does the program have a newsletter? Does it have a Facebook page? Do they reach out and have meetings with other community partners? Those types of things. So we need a few more points, and we have a plan to put that into place. So the grant should be out in, they don't know exactly, probably June, and it's open for about 6 weeks, and we would apply during that time. Next, last time I was here, we talked a little bit about the electric car. There had been some discussion a couple months ago. South Sioux City and other towns in the state have cars, and so we were just looking at what it would cost and would it make sense. I think this came from the standpoint that it could be used for running around town, running around the county, health department doing home visits could use it. So the cost, the funding comes through the Nebraska Environmental Trust through a conglomerate of agencies called the Nebraska Community Energy Alliance. So there's a little bit of investment to get started, to join that organization, and to apply for the grant. So you have about $1,500 coming out of the box. The car is $32,000, and the charging station for the really deluxe model charging station, $7,200, plus getting it installed is another $6,000. So you have some investment, but if we look on the summary, cost summary of page 3, you can see that the net cost of getting it going on the vehicle will be about $16,000.
For the car?
For the car, the charging station, and the fees to join that organization. So with an electric car, you don't fill them up with gas. I'm told that they use about 30 kilowatt hours of energy per 100 miles. So if you just use 10 cents a kilowatt, that's about 3 cents per mile energy usage. You compare that to a little subcompact. If you're driving around town in a car that gets 30 miles per gallon, $3 per gallon, then that's about 10 cents per mile for gas cost. The Nebraska Community Energy Alliance, probably one of the most innovative things that they do is, now they're looking at more than just electric cars. They're looking at the whole energy picture. And one of the things that can be done that they're looking at with these smart meters is that you could potentially, if the car is on the charger and charged up at peak demand times on the energy grid, that could actually send power back to eliminate high cost peak time energy usage. There's a lot of different things that are going on with this concept that they're looking at. Ideally, it'd be nice if the charging station would be someday powered by wind or solar.
Sure. What is the lifetime of one of those cars? You know, when the battery needs to replace, what the cost? Do you get any information?
The couple of years that they've been running, they've had basically no maintenance. So the gal said she's driven 15,000 miles and not experienced much in the way of maintenance, that they're working like they should. So.
No, we're trying to save money on gas, right? Not a pollution type of thing, or what?
I think that goes back to the beginning of the discussion. South Sioux has one that their meter readers are driving around town. I think they do it for a reduction in cost, but I think they also do it for an image of renewable energy, futuristic image, that type of thing.
It's 15,000 miles. The batteries and everything, was, they never had to replace any batteries?
They never had to replace the batteries, no. We have a couple of months, I think it's about July 1st, that they need to know whether we join the alliance and move forward. So provided some more information here. Is this something that maybe one of your committees wants to take a little bit of a look at, if I put together some more information on the different charging station options and really decide who would use it and what it would be used for? I mean, how you could best utilize it.
And this grant is just, this grant is for electric car only, right? I mean, it is, there can be any other car?
Yeah, it's an electric car. It's an electric car.
Okay, I just wanted.
And the charging station.
Okay.
So I know we talked about this in the past, but we pay the membership fee and the grant application fee is $1,500, a one-time fee.
$1,000 to join it one time, and then $1,500 to apply. So if you never do anything again, it'd be $1,500. If you apply at some point in time in the future, it'd be another $500 at the time of the application.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think it warrants looking into.
That's what I'm suggesting. Why don't we just look into it and the county road, the committee, you know, and
maybe get some things put together for the budget and finance committee so we can look at it, I suppose, and then we can present it back to the board.
You know, I think many uses the assessor's office. It's surely get used.
They can be used, but the thing of this, we need to really.
I know you have no crystal ball, but what would, you know, to spend a couple grand, what's the odds of us getting one?
Well, the coalition was funded 2 grant cycles ago with the Nebraska Environmental Trust. Then this last time, they did not get funded, but you said they had some strategic things that they were not going to do again. They put in some things that probably weren't well received with the Environmental Trust. So they're thinking this go around, they stand a pretty good chance.
It's almost like they got a little enterprise going on. They get people filling out these applications and filling this, you know, and they pay that money to buy these cars.
Yeah. I mean, makes you wonder. Well, you know, check out that. I don't think the Community Energy Alliance has a web page, but they have a Facebook page. It gives you a little bit of information about what they're all about and what they're trying to do.
I think we could definitely utilize one down here without a doubt.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But we need to look into it, and then we can
get it. Probably the big thing that's come out of this, and I'll try to get some more definitive information on the battery life, and then also the charging station options, because you can do basically nothing. Instead of spending a good chunk of money for the charging station, you can just plug it into 110, but it takes like 19 hours to charge. So, I mean, you give up something, and then that's only a charging station would do more than one vehicle different things. So if it is something, you think the budget committee would?
Yeah, the budget committee and treasurer's office.
Try to find out what the cost of the batteries are, too. I know batteries cost for a golf cart. They're not cheap.
That's what I was wondering.
And who else is on the?
Dave and Jim, do you know something? Dave?
I was going to say, if you'd like to see one, there's one parked right out front.
He's in it?
Yeah, later.
But the battery's dead right now, so go ahead.
We're in shot.
Your remote, that's very unique. I mean, it's
at
the regular charging station, you can be charged back up in several hours. And once you get the big setups, you know, like a regular gas station type setup, it's like 30 minutes before you get the charge.
Can you refresh my memory? What's the Nebraska Environmental Trust? How's that funded? Is that through Powerball or
through Powerball?
Okay, so they've got a lot.
The Nebraska Lottery. So they give out about $20 million a year.
Right.
So the lake out at Hubbard got a good chunk of funding from that.
That was an Environmental Trust too. Yeah.
So I mean, they'll do anything from recycling containers and smaller grants to those bigger projects. But it is the Nebraska Lottery. So part of the Nebraska Lottery, I think, goes to education, part to the Environmental Trust, and a little chunk of it to the Gamblers Anonymous.
Right. I think Ben Cramper's on that board.
Yeah, he was one of the founding. Vince was one of the founding members back in the 90s. So they just celebrated 20 years. So I think it was 1992, 93 that they first.
Why don't let us look into it, Kevin, and see budget committee get together, and we'll look into the situation, and like Scott says, you know, we can utilize and we can use one, you know, that's for sure. But like the life at the batteries, you know, see if you can find out, and the station type of thing, you know, so have more information. So the board have any more questions for Kevin?
Who's on the finance and budget committee then?
Bill and Rick.
Scott
and Rick and Joe, we get together.
Come on, Scott, don't try to.
I know. Just kidding.
You know that
guy. You know, I would think that charging station would probably make sense, because otherwise, if you try to plug it in 19 hours and they wouldn't utilize it, and who's to say what it would do to life of the batteries? You know what I'm saying? It would probably be hard on them, I would think.
Okay.
So for $7,200, is that correct, for a charging station?
Well, that's a station, then they allocated about $6,000 to get it installed. So, I mean, it's a decent chunk of money, but you may be able to do it for less than that, depending upon what you know, where you have it, how close it is to the power grid and those types of things.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin's going. going to update us on to the board about the information regarding the dairies and business suspension.
So been some discussions about dairies in the county. There is a Dairy Associations of Nebraska have a meeting in Lincoln on Thursday, May 7th. And so Rod asked if there was anybody from the county who would be interested in going. So if there's somebody that definitely is, let me know and we can get you included in on that. And as far as land, there are a few landowners that are possibly willing to take a look at offering their land for dairies. With one of the sites early on was a question of a floodplain, and so was able to find the FEMA maps that definitely identify floodplains. I don't know if you saw that in your packet, but I think it's something to grab a hold of real early so you can really make some determinations without spending a lot of time.
So chances are for the dairies to be installed on our county? Is there pretty good chances?
Well, I think the one that's been here and talked early on is very, very possible. And then talking with the State Dairy Association, they have interest from California with dairies relocating, and so they have a pipeline there. Wayne County, is their economic development people have been working on this for a couple of years, so I think they've maybe zeroed in on one of the latest prospects out there that is taking a good hard look at Wayne County. So they're interested in this part of the state.
Is it a separate one from what Todd is looking at, Wayne? I haven't heard much about Todd. Is it Todd?
Toll. We went to a meeting. Kevin was there, a month ago, probably, out of the old Dean. He wanted to talk about his manure management and acres it takes for silage and hay. And it was a good meeting.
I think he had an expert
He invited us to his dairy. I think the closest one is Wisconsin.
Oh, I thought he had one in Columbus, I thought.
He's got a couple of them down in Butler County. Butler County Dairy and then Double Dutch.
Oh, I thought it was Kansas and then Wisconsin.
He's got a long... He originated in California, then right.
Nevada.
Then
Nevada.
Yeah, there was a little Nevada connection there. Then Western Kansas, then these two here, and then most recently his son is in Wisconsin at a calf ranch and dairy.
But I thought he said south of Columbus was the nearest one to us. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Butler County. Butler County Dairy and then Double Dutch, I think it's called.
Any more questions for Kevin? Darren?
Got a little bit on business expansion, still working on that. If there's any questions, you know, let me know. Otherwise, I know you're pressed for time here and got another agenda, other items. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
We'll let you know, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk about it. With that, we're going to move to miscellaneous. Fred Keller, superintendent of the Highway Department.
April 12th through the 25th, total maintenance hours 298, overtime 3, tree and debris removal 11 hours, garbage pickup 2, aggregate hauled 2,388 tons, sign repair 28 and a half hours, 22 signs. Barricading, 6 and a half hours, 5 barricades. Road concerns, we did have some. Our office was a little spared for time today, so we didn't get them all written down. But most of them were grading and graveling. Roads and the rains have helped. Coming around, getting a little more solid. And a week of good dry weather would be appreciated.
And you're going to get her.
We'll get her. Any questions for Fred? No? Fred, so. Good report.
Thanks, Fred.
Thank you, Fred. On the item B, President Todd Hammer, Deputy Chair representing the GNU FOP, Lodge number 49, to notify the board
of the union intention to begin negotiations for contract expiring in June 30, 2015.
Like you were just here.
You're welcome aboard.
You just said everything I needed to say.
So you're all right.
What's the board want to do? Do you want it possible to take an action and put a date to start negotiating this contract?
I think last time, it was Kim, Joan, myself, and Rick sat down with Todd and a couple of your representatives and we talked.
That works much better than coming to the whole board.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
So what's a good time frame, you think? If it ends June 30th, we'd like to try to get it in place. I mean, because with our budget time, we'll start meeting with department heads and elected officials probably the middle of May. You know, so
right in the May.
Soon, within the next couple of weeks.
Right.
We need to do soon because we got two more meetings in May.
Should we just look at our calendar and then Joan can just contact you guys?
We can do that.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
And then we'll just get a date that Rick's available.
Well, that's fine. I figured it'd be towards the
end. I mean, is that what we want to do is get Rick and I and Joan and Kim and all of us together again? Or somebody else want to step in? You're more than welcome to.
Did a great job last time.
Yeah. It's like, you know, everybody said, I mean, come in front of all of us, you know, more difficult than the committee get together and
but we still got to bring it to the county board and get it approved and all the above anyways yet, you know, so.
Can you get in touch with Rick and see if you can put the same committee and
I would think so. Joan and I, we can get something figured out and get a date.
Let you know a date.
All right. So we're looking towards the end of June. Or May.
End of May.
Yeah.
End of May.
Okay. That's what
we're doing. Is that okay?
Yep. No, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right, Todd.
Thank you.
Okay, on the bottom, under item C, approval of a letter of support from Nebraska Department of Roads regarding the village of Jackson request the reconstruction of rather than resurface Highway 20 project. That's all they asking for a letter of support, right, from the board. But we need to take a have a motion for that.
Yeah, we talked about this last meeting.
Yeah.
So this means
I would move that we write a letter of support to the Nebraska Department of Roads asking to reconstruct Highway 20 project through Jackson instead of resurface.
You second it?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Moved by Commissioner Rohde and seconded by Commissioner Law. Call roll, please, to approve the letter of support.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. Under item D, approve the signage of the intersection of E Avenue and 164th Street regarding the railroad blocking the Mills Beach entrance road. Okay.
Where are we at on this here?
Rick had some ideas. Did you talk to him, Rick?
Yes. I haven't really heard of what exactly the wordage you would like, but I'm assuming just something to the effect that do not block the intersection for emergency vehicle.
Yeah, I keep it simple, but you have to get the point across. Because, you know, we talked about a lot at our last meeting. There's
right.
It hadn't happened for some time, and, people come and go out there, different engineers, and, you know, they don't know that there's not another way in there. But I'd say just keep it simple to, you know.
Noticeable and to the point.
Absolutely.
Right.
Have it approved.
I think whatever we, you know, if you and Rick are going to do this, I think obviously have our time.
Can I ask if you would like them on both sides of the track, just one side?
I would think
of course we're going to have to keep it on the county right away.
I think if you're going to do it, I'd
put it on both sides.
Both sides.
Both sides of the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you do that? Okay.
Because the other day it was a half hour. Nobody moved.
So,
Fred, what are you saying on it? What's it going to say?
What's that?
What's it going to say?
The suggestion was made to put up signs facing the railroad tracks to not block this entrance into Mills Beach.
I'm not going to even say Mills Beach, at least I'm just doing it because of emergency vehicle concerns, since this is the only entrance, basically. Try and get it shortened down to two or three lines on a 4x2 sign, something like it to that.
I thought you were talking about Burlington Northern when they're coming in and replacing
it. So the engineer sees it the sign. From both directions.
I hope that'll take care of it. I hope.
You're taking out the tracks here May 8th.
Yes.
You'll probably be getting some phone calls on that day, too. They're going to shut it down for
from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, you already know that.
They are going to try to put up a sign to let all the residents know.
That's what I thought the sign you're talking about.
Yeah.
Wow. They're asking for a message board to try to let the residents in Mills Beach
know. Did you find them one?
I did not. No, they were before the state.
9 to 5, what day? When?
8.
The 8?
8.
Boy.
You could shut your phone off.
Absolutely not, would we? Well, listen, I think if they give plenty of notice, obviously it's going to be an inconvenience, but if they got to tear the tracks apart, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah,
they got to do it.
So we need a motion to approve this signage intersection to put up the sign. We need an action.
I would move that Fred, if he wants to work with Rick kind of brought it up.
There's only one other thing I suggest, I think I'll do, is check with NIRMA.
Yeah.
To make sure that we're in compliance with it by putting these signs up on our county right away.
All right.
Basically, I've never heard of it before, but it doesn't mean that it's not a good
idea.
Can't
be the first, right?
I wonder that.
And then also, you know, I don't know, I just definitely, you know, NIRMA obviously, but also with Kim, just to make sure that.
Yeah, with those conditions, I'd make that motion.
And I'll second that. Those conditions, and
Well, Kim didn't raise her eyebrows, so I thought it was right. Raises her eyebrows. You know,
I second it. Call roll, please.
Okay, I have Bill moved and Dick seconded, but you seconded?
Yeah.
No, Dick.
Dick did.
Oh, Dick. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Dick.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I did. I seconded.
Rename my motion. My motion. My second.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, the county board should make quarterly visits to the county offices ourselves. We need to make a general tour after the meeting, so we need to stay really well, not for so long. But, commissioners, committee reports.
I went to a health department meeting the other night here, and we had a good meeting. She came up. Her grant was $181,000, and she put in the paper that she wants to hire two people to help her. They're gonna, and she talked to Diane, and Diane's gonna take like 8 hours of her time, and she's gonna come up with the other 32.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy will be a full time. Whoever it is gonna be a full time.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she's got 6 to 7 now that they have to go out and see, you know, check on people.
Sure.
And she said her budget is still in good shape. So
bigger money.
Yeah.
And this grand money, right?
Yeah, she's all right, yeah.
Okay. Any more commissioner committee reports?
LEC. We met, I think it was last Tuesday.
On the 15th.
The 14th.
14th, excuse me.
Yep.
Yeah.
And basically it was pretty short, but basically we talked about the upgrades. Stacy Gross came in and talked to us about the upgrades for the 911, the CAD, the radio control consoles. We're running on kind of thin ice with our radios and our computers. But anyways, long story short, is he's coming back to us and he gave us a proposal. I think it was like $550,000
minus. Some stuff.
Yeah, right. But anyways, to upgrade and obviously again, you know, he was thinking that we could get 12, 15 years out of it. And gratefully the county and the city has been kind of escrowing this money each year to be prepared for this. So we're a little bit short, but you know, not much. We're in better shape than then and the funny thing is about this system, from what do you say, 3-4 years ago, it's like $50,000 or $60,000 less now than what it was.
Yeah, price went down.
Yeah, price went
down. Competition drove the price down a little bit.
Good.
Yep.
So that's good news.
So yeah. So and obviously we're going to probably be in touch with him for the next few months until we get things figured out. But yeah, that's what's happening at the LEC.
Your godfather showed up on the meeting.
I'm sorry.
The godfather showed up at the meeting.
The godfather wasn't there. No, the two godfathers. The Mexican godfather wasn't there, and the godfather of Jackson was not there. Okay. So yeah. No, we were a little bit short-handed. Okay.
Any more on that?
No, that's it. That's it.
Any more commissioners' committee reports?
The Bagot.
The Bagot. Oh, well, Jones can talk about that. She had a lot of notes. I know she was taking a lot of notes.
It was awesome. It really was. It was interesting.
John.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was very interesting. I mean, it was a 45-minute video, and let me tell you, it's amazing of how many bags that are used. Correct me if I'm wrong, if somebody wrote this down, but it was at 500 billion bags in the United States.
Per year.
Yes, a year.
A year.
500
the plastic
billion.
Bag is the number one consumer item in the world. 1 million per minute, 500 billion per year. The single-use disposable material is made from fossil fuels, a non-renewable resource. It is used one time, thrown away, and the material lasts forever.
That's interesting.
800 pounds per person per year, 60,000 every 5 seconds. There's a, I don't know how you pronounce it, G-Y-R-E, the ocean current that continually cycles.
Right.
The plastic kills 10,000 marine animals a year. Sally made the point that takes some pride in our image, that litter attracts litter. One of the points that was brought out was to teach our kids, teach them young, put an
education plan
in the schools, and they were doing that. They were giving that film to us, some of the
and they were on TV throughout the week, yes, showing them at school.
And the paper, and chemicals in the plastic cause cancer. Think outside the bag, reduce, simplify. Plastic is everywhere.
It was a very interesting movie. I mean, I went to the, I thought it was boring, you know, really, to be honest with you.
You thought it was going to be?
Yeah.
I did too.
I mean, I wasn't. And it wasn't. No, really. I mean, yeah. I said, well, let's go.
And then it was brought up. Very good. And paper, everybody thinks it's cutting down trees, you know, paper sack, but it ain't. That's coming out of the sawdust. That's how they make the paper sack.
Yeah, the byproduct of it.
Byproduct. So you build a house, you got sawdust. So.
You know, and it's funny because, I've talked to a lot of people about this even after I was up there that night, and it is. It's really amazing to know that all the plastic that goes into rivers and ends up in the ocean, and you know, they showed, you know, the current around Hawaii, you know, the way that wraps around, and there's certain animals, or I should say fish, or was it the turtles? Is that what it was?
Turtles and
they said that there's the oldest reptile, right, going back to the dinosaur year. They said they don't get something under control, there's in the next 2 decades they're going to be done. You know, and there's another certain animal in the ocean or fish that they
Albatross.
think it's a jellyfish. That's what they like to feed on, and it's a plastic bag.
Right. Yeah.
And then they showed certain birds that migrate
Albatross.
On an island.
Yeah.
And they will eat caps and just all kinds of stuff. And once they die, you know, then they have people go and look at them, and they found what, 14 bottle caps and one bird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they just want, you know, they're hungry, they want to eat, mm-hmm. and they'll just pick up anything and go with it.
And we ship all of our plastic over to China.
Yes, you should have seen that.
Bundles and shiploads.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
It gives you a whole different perspective and outlook on just the way trash is just blown, and it really does.
And it's really amazing because your water jugs, anybody that drinks a lot of water, that's no, you can't take that in and get nickel back. You should do it. It's done. You throw it away.
In certain countries, they'll reuse the plastic bottles. Like, how many times was it, Sally? Like 15 times that some bottles were being used, and they can tell just of the decay of the bottle.
Oh, really?
But they throw them in a recycler, and then they'll clean them and do whatever. Then they it was interesting, definitely interesting. And I think the Texas is huge on this fee. And I was doing some Googling while I was there because, was it Washington, D.C. back in 09? Is that right? Did they go, was it Washington, D.C. area? Was it 09?
Yeah, they banned it in Washington.
But I don't, my point is like Dallas and Austin and those, a lot of cities,
California.
They're doing a lot of fees for bags. And then I think they're taking that money and trying to educate people on. And they stated that people will go outside the ceiling limits instead of paying the 5 or 10 cents a bag. If they would go get 10 bags, and spend, 50 cents or a dollar, they would spend the money to drive outside the city limits to go buy elsewhere. And, it's just it's the way people are taught, and educated. So it's the way it's sold to them is what it is.
I think there was a good move to see the movie, and I think eventually if it's something that actually happens, like we live in Tri-State area, every corner of the state, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska has to agree on the fee, that can be possible, but at least we got something to start, and I like you said again, it was very interesting, very, very good one.
I grabbed a couple of the bags on the way out, and then all of a sudden the next morning I went to the store, and then my wife, I called her, hey, you need anything from the store? She's like, hey, you forgot your bags here.
I did too.
Well, you forgot your bags. I was like, I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
Like I said, just being repetitious and being educated on it, but yeah, it's true.
Any more?
And we had popcorn. Thank God on that.
Yeah, good.
We went to the movies.
I know John's head here for a glass popcorn. Any more on that? I went to Washington, D.C. on the 4th, 15th, and the 16th, and I had a good experience. I met the new senators and the new the people on board, and I had the privilege this time to be a moderator for all our senators and congressmen. The funny part of the whole deal was we were with Congressman Adrian Smith when the guy landed on the Capitol Hills. And they come on the intercom, and they inform us that somebody landed outside the Capitol, but there was nothing to be concerned about it. Everything was under control, and this all the information they give us. So we look at each other, what's going on. get out of here. But anyway, I present to the senators and congressmen from our state the homework that I took with me about the county roads issues, and the only person that called me back, there was Chad Fontenberry, and we're going to get together over the phone next week, because he actually asked me, he says, what do you think we got to do? I said, well, we need money. I know that's for fact. So, I don't know, funding is not an easy thing in Washington to do right now, but one of the things that I confront myself to when I introduce a new senator says, I don't know too much about the guy, you're trying to Google, like you said, and I don't find other than he was president of the school. But I'm telling you, when this guy speaks, he's smart. He's like, oh my God, he's very sharp. You will see him in the future, he's really impressed me. But I had a good time, and one thing that they put me in charge to and talk about the issue about elementary and secondary education act, the ESEA and No Child Left Behind. And I told Paul Gossman, superintendent of school at Sioux City, I said, you choose the wrong person, buddy. I only went to 6th grade elementary school. Now I'm talking in Washington, D.C.
You didn't get left behind.
Oh, my God. And he got left, and he says, well, Tony, you got the guts. You want to do it. I got no choice.
What choice do I have?
But anyway, I enjoy it, and I suggest that in the future, some of you guys need to go. I've been there. This is my fourth time. I think it's nice that when you connect yourself to your senators and congressmen, you know, but like I said, Fontenberry's office called me, and I'm going to speak with Jeff next week on Thursday.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks for joining and representing us, and I think, you know, some good come out of this. It does. You got to be heard, and I appreciate you going.
Well, thank you.
You represent us very well.
Yeah. That's my report. So other than that, any mail on emergency business? I don't think so. Any public comments? Anybody from the public?
No takers, Tony.
No takers. Lesson, meeting adjourned.
Nope.
No?
No,
I'm sorry.
Jail short.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot all about jail short. I'm sorry. Adrarvis and my meeting adjourned, what I need to do.
We'll do it over there.
I'll put the head of the way. Be like that or what? What do you want to do?
Oh, yes, I never know more.
Present my motion. No, that's not a motion. There was not a motion, so yeah, that's okay. Well, we got to the altar.
We're not quite adjourned.
Not quite adjourned. I was thinking about going.